Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Faith Focus Weekly Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I just want to say thank you for watching or for listening, and as always, leave a comment, leave a review, subscribe, do all those things, and if you ever want to get a hold of me, my email address is listed below in the episode description. I'm joined today by my partner in stripes, Pastor Shar Rotbold. Everybody this morning in our office is noticing that we're both wearing stripes, which was totally planned because we were going to be here today. So if you're listening, we're both wearing striped shirts.
It was not planned.
Yeah. Horizontal stripes. I don't know why. Aren't you supposed to wear vertical stripes to make you look taller? That's probably what I should be doing.
Yeah, horizontal stripes are supposed to make you look heavy.
Oops. So... on that note, we're here to talk about hospitality. So
yes.
Everybody's commenting in our weight this morning because we're wearing horizontal stripes. No. So, you wanted to talk about hospitality.
Yeah.
So what is it about hospitality that you wanted to share with us and discuss with us?
Yeah. Well, first, I guess to back up, the leadership at church is involved in a 5-year strategic plan right now. So we're looking at... setting ourselves up to be really impactful for the kingdom in the years to come, not just present day. So as part of that, we have 3 different leadership groups, and Kevin's one of them, I'm in one of them. There's a gather group, a grow group, and a go group. So I lead the gather group, and the hospitality piece is a big part of what we're talking about as a group of lay leaders and staff members. So. Mm-hmm. Super relevant right now to the conversation we're having. So hospitality is about welcoming people to our church building, people who come into our building, making them feel known and seen. So
then why do we want to do that? Why should we be hospitable as a church?
Yeah, well, that's who we're supposed to be as Christians. They'll know we are Christians by our love, which is a song for some of us, and is a scripture passage also. It's a command. And in Hebrews chapter 11 somewhere, talks about being hospitable to strangers. And you don't know when you're being hospitable to someone, if they are perhaps an angel in disguise, as scripture says. Or we're just called to be hospitable, period, regardless of who's in front of us and the assumptions that we might make initially about somebody.
Yeah. And that extends, that's certainly about our time here when we're in the church building or doing church ministries, but that's just who we are to be all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. We are called to love. Yeah. We are not called to judge first. We are called to love first.
Yeah.
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 So this hospitality discussion, like, we're mostly talking about it in the context of our local church, but it can apply to any sort of context, really. So
right.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a I've probably talked about this before in a sermon, but there's a book that I had to read for seminary a long time ago called Hospitality and the Other, and one of the points that the author made was hospitality is, we think of it as extending hospitality to somebody else, inviting someone else in, leading the conversation, being the host. Mm-hmm. But the author of this book argued that it's actually equally, at least equally hospitable to receive the hospitality of someone else.
Mm.
So I can have my unbelieving neighbor over into my house and I'm still in control. But if my unbelieving neighbor invites me over, or my Muslim neighbor, or my atheist neighbor invites me over.
Or the neighbor across the political spectrum from me.
Yeah. We need to receive those invitations. And that also is being hospitable. So kind of turns it upside down a little bit too.
Well, that actually relates perfectly to last week's episode that I did about receiving grace and freely receiving gifts that we are given. So that's a good connection to that. So, and we were talking earlier, and one of the pieces about all this kind of leads to this question. Why do people stay at a church when they visit for the first time? What leads them to stay usually?
Yeah. Well, so the first part of that is, why do people come to a church? And that varies from person to person. Some people walk into a church because they're new to the area, they've grown up in the church, church is super important to them, and it's like they've been here a day and they want to find a church. So some people are just, they are well-churched and they know Christian community, and that's a priority in their life. So they come seeking that. On the other end of the spectrum, some people come with zero experience at a church, but they've got a hunger for community or a hunger to be seen or to be known, or they feel shame, or they have recently gone through something traumatic, or they have a practical need. Or they came because somebody dragged them along, mm-hmm. said, you need to come to church. So the reasons people come to church are as varied as the people who walk in the door.
Right.
So that's one thing. But the reason people stay is because they've made a personal connection with somebody, and that is tested across time and across the nation. People, probably across the world too, people stay because they've made a personal connection with somebody.
Yeah.
So we want to at least offer a personal connection to people when they come.
Yeah. Well, and I can kind of speak to that because the church I was at before I first came to Faith Covenant, I left that because I didn't really have a personal connection. Mm. Like the last Sunday I attended that church, I had just come home from this really intense emotional mission trip. And so like during worship, I was kind of like tearing up and kind of emotional, and nobody talked to me before the service, during the service, after the service. Like, nobody talked to me.
Yeah.
And then the next week I came to Faith Covenant, where I knew a few people, but I didn't necessarily know them super well. And like, as soon as I sat down, somebody came and sat with me and said, "Hi, can I sit with you?" I mean, it was someone I knew, it was Jay Substead, but came and sat with me, and that's when I knew, like, I'm staying here.
Yeah. That personal connection.
Yeah.
And the tricky piece of that is some people are super introverted, or they're in a grieving season, or they're angry, and they don't want.
Yeah.
They don't want someone to talk to them, or they don't want to be a part of a family or a Christian community when they come in. They just want to, you know, eyes to the ground. I'm here. I just want to see if there's anything here that will happen to me, but they're not initially looking for, interested in being part of a church family. So we need to be sensitive to that too in our hospitality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So here at Faith Covenant Church, what do we have in place to engage in hospitality? Like, do we have people that are intentionally doing hospitality on some level? What roles are there?
Yeah, we sure do. Our Sunday morning team, from our greeters to our ushers to our coffee shop volunteers to our information desk volunteers to the children's ministry desk folks, they are all... That's our hospitality team, and we don't necessarily call that the hospitality team, but maybe we should. But that's really your role.
Functionally, that's their role.
Functionally. Your role is to see people, look them in the eye, notice them, offer a welcome, answer questions, kind of follow the person's lead in conversation, and help people feel known and feel like they've made a connection here. So beyond just the hello. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which doesn't mean hounding someone down or chasing them down a hallway. Or if someone comes in and they're looking at the ground and walking fast, well, there's a nonverbal cue for us.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily rush to engage them. We give them space to just be anonymous for a bit. But yeah.
So what are the responsibilities if you're a greeter or an usher? Like, what do you have to be able to do?
Yeah, I would say minimum is look somebody in the eye and put a smile on your face and say good morning or welcome or hello.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, that's the very minimum. And the greeters, sometimes people just are walking by and there's a whole group of people walking by, so you don't have time to say more than that. But if you do have time to say a little bit more, you could follow up with, "I don't know that we've met before," and initiate with, "My name is Char. Have we met?"
Yeah.
I've been burned a few times saying, "Is this your first visit here?" And someone's like, "No, I've been coming for 6 months." I'm like,
"Ah." I've been there too.
Yeah. So I like that. "Have we met before?" Or, "I don't remember your name," or that kind of thing.
Yeah. Just kind of make it clear that, like, I don't recall if we've met, but if we have, it's on me that I haven't remembered.
Yeah. And I would like to know you.
Yeah.
And I do my best to try to remember a name, and I don't always remember a name. And that's okay to say, "I don't remember your name. Can you remind me what your name is?"
People know not everybody remembers names, and people know that. That's okay.
Yeah. I meet a lot of people on a given Sunday, and I try, but...
So I'm going to go through some hypothetical questions. So if I'm not on this team, like if I'm not a greeter or I'm not an usher, coffee shop volunteer, I'm off the hook, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, great. No.
No. If this is your church home, if you consider Faith Covenant your church home, whether you've been here a month or 60 years, you are part of the hospitality team. And I hope you see yourself that way every single time you're in the building, whether on a Sunday or any other night or day of the week too. And that would be a challenge and an encouragement for this year and for moving forward to see yourself as part of the hospitality team, whether or not you have a particular function on a given day. If this is your church and you see someone you don't know, by all means, introduce yourself, say hello, offer a welcoming smile, look people in the eye. It's mm-hmm. huge. Don't underestimate the power of eye contact. It's really important.
Notice who's sitting alone and see if you can sit near them or a row or behind or ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe because oftentimes we have a community time, not every week, but a community time during the service. So even if you just position yourself so that you're near someone you don't recognize, they may or may not have been at Faith Covenant for a while. But if you just position yourself, then when we get to that community time, there's a built-in excuse for talking to a person that you don't know, because it's just greet the people around you.
Yeah, yeah. So. And for some people, that's the best part of their morning. And for some people, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
So there's that sensitivity piece, too.
And
that
I feel both ways simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody you don't know, they might be terrified at that community time. So you don't need to engage in a long conversation or even ask any questions. Kind of gauge their response and their nonverbals. But certainly, you can say, hey, my name is mm-hmm. Kevin, or my name is Shar. Welcome.
Yeah.
Or good to see you this morning. And that might be it, and that might be enough for some people.
And going back, you were talking about how it's all of our role all the times, even if we're not specifically on that team. Tell me about the stealth greeters that you talked to me earlier this morning.
Years ago, I was responsible for staffing the hospitality teams. Terry Langmack and Sally Freeman do a fantastic job of doing that piece on Sunday mornings now. But when I had the greeters, or when I had those groups, I called them stealth greeters on Sunday morning and said, whether you're scheduled on a given Sunday or not, if you ever serve in one of these areas, you are a stealth greeter every single week.
Yeah.
So your job is to look for people you don't know and initiate a conversation, or at least make eye contact and say hello and offer your name.
Yeah.
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 So then the next question, what if I'm shy or I'm not very outgoing or I'm not an extrovert? Like, this can be really daunting to be just approaching people and saying hello.
Yeah, yeah. And this might surprise some of you, but I'm an introvert.
I am too.
Kevin is too. We are both introverts. We kind of
so is Pastor Brad, I think, too.
Yeah. We get paid to be extroverted on Sundays.
To have extroverted behaviors.
And we have, verbal jobs where we communicate often in front of large groups of people. But you can do that and still be an introvert. So whether you're introverted or extroverted, you can still look somebody in the eye and say good morning and offer your name. Hey, my name is Shar. Good morning. Welcome. And that, it doesn't need to be more than that. You don't need to share a whole lot about yourself. You don't need to probe deeply into the life of another person mm-hmm. To be a warm, welcoming presence.
Yeah. This challenges me because I'm not a naturally outgoing person. This kind of stresses me out a little bit. So this is a challenge for me as much as it may be for some of you as well. So for a lot of us, Sunday is oftentimes the only time we see some people that are close friends. You've been here for 30 years, so mm-hmm. sometimes it's the only day in the week that you see people you've known forever.
Yeah.
How do you balance, you know, valuable time with people that you have deep relationship with while also trying to incorporate new people and meet new people, greet new people?
Yeah. I definitely feel that because I have deep friendships here. A couple different things. If you're in very personal, below the surface level conversation with a friend we're sharing something that's not a surface level conversation, I don't interrupt or leave that conversation to talk to somebody I don't know, because that's a valuable conversation. Mm-hmm. But if we're chatting about surfacey things, or where we what we did this weekend, or where we're going after church today, or whatever. That's a conversation that you could and should leave, and your friends will understand that. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the culture we're trying to develop or encourage here. Is, you know, if Kevin and I are talking on a Sunday morning about baseball, which we probably would never do, but hypothetically speaking, and
if we were, it'd be about how much I despise baseball.
But if somebody walks by and we're talking about baseball, I would say, excuse me, there's somebody I don't know. I'm going to go say hi. And Kevin's going to understand that. He's not going to be offended. Now, mm-hmm. if he's sharing some deep prayer request with
me. And if we're talking about baseball, I'm probably going to be relieved that this conversation's over.
True. I wouldn't do that if Kevin was sharing a prayer request with me, obviously. But he
Please
would understand.
Pray that I don't have to go to another baseball game.
Okay. We'll pray about that later.
Great.
That's an example to Kevin also, and you know the same would be true if Kevin left a conversation to go talk to it. That would be a good reminder for me and a good example to me of, oh yeah, that's what it's about. And to watch him go and find someone and seek someone that he doesn't know would be a beautiful thing to witness, and has happened. So it's a good thing. Your friends will understand if you leave a conversation to greet somebody, and it will also prompt them and encourage them to do the same. So, mm-hmm.
And it may also be, you probably don't want to do this every time because it could get overwhelming, but it might be an opportunity for you and your friend to go greet someone. Like,
hey,
I don't think I, do you recognize that person? Okay, neither of us do. Let's go meet them.
Yeah.
That, you know, you might want to pay attention to those nonverbal cues that maybe they would maybe be a little overwhelmed by two people approaching instead of one. But that's an option too of, let's go greet this person together.
Right. Or if I've been talking to somebody who's a visitor and a friend walks by, I might say, hey, you know, and beckon mm-hmm. them, hey, this is so-and-so, and introduce them to a second person.
Yeah.
And again, there's some discernment there based on the conversation you've been having with the stranger, if that would be an okay thing.
Yeah.
And you try, and sometimes it might not go exactly the way you wanted it to go, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. At least we're trying.
Yep. So what are some, we've kind of talked a couple, but what are some examples of how to approach someone that you don't recognize?
Yeah, make eye contact. If they're not willing to make eye contact, that's a nonverbal cue to pay attention to. Don't follow them and hound them and like kind of go like this trying to, but if someone is looking around, they're open to a conversation. So you can try and catch their eye and just approach them and sometimes I'll hold my hand out. I did that yesterday, and a gal didn't hold her hand, and her husband said, it was at a funeral, and he said, she's not shaking hands since COVID. And I was like, okay, that's cool, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I learned that. So you might extend your hand and say, hi, I'm Char, and see what the response is. Is this your first time here? Have we met before?
Mm-hmm.
Get a feel for the conversation from there. And you'll get a feel, and don't take it personally if someone's not interested in talking to you. It's not you. They don't even know you.
Yeah.
They're just here again for one of a thousand different reasons, and we don't know that. So we honor where someone is at, but it's easy and pretty non-threatening to don't ask what their name is first. Offer your name. Hi, I'm Char. Have we met?
Mm-hmm.
And they may give you their name and they may not. And you don't need to ask, what was your name or what's your name? If they offer it, they'll, you know, this is the first conversation. So,
And again, like we said earlier, if maybe you met somebody one week and then you see them the next week but forget their name, that's okay to call out and say, I know we talked. Remind me your name.
Yep.
So those are some things, those are some ways to kind of initiate contact.
Mm-hmm.
If people kind of indicate that they're open to more conversation, what are some good ideas of how to continue the conversation, ask a couple questions? What are some questions that we can kind of have in our back pocket to kind of use when you see that, oh, I've greeted them and they seem receptive to a little bit more?
Yeah. And again, we're following their lead and as mm-hmm. the conversation's been going, so it'll be different every time. But in general, you can say, do you live in the area? Or where do you live? And they might say, well, I just moved to Burnsville. And then you could say, well, where did you live before? Or where did you come from? That kind of thing. So again, following their lead a bit, you can ask if they might say they live in Arizona, and then, oh, what brings you to Minnesota? Mm-hmm. Are you visiting? Did you recently move here? You could ask what if they say, well, my job transferred me. Well, that's an easy one. Well,
what's your job?
What do you do? Where do you work? That kind of thing. So again, following the lead for kind of normal conversation is helpful. Yeah. Yeah. And that'll be different with every conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it can be helpful to ask, what questions do you have? And just kind of put a little bit on their plate to kind of identify what information they want to know. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to know everything about Faith Covenant right away.
Right. Absolutely. That's a good way to overwhelm somebody. Yeah.
We have this and this and this and this. Like, that's great if you know those things.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
let them kind of decide how much information they want right away.
Right. I am. One good thing to have a little couple-minute spiel on, though, because I get the question a lot, actually, is, what is the covenant? Mm. Because we're not super well-known. Like, people kind of know what the Lutheran Church is or the Catholic, but the covenant's not as large and as well-known. So to be able to articulate in just a couple sentences what the covenant is, you know, well, our historical roots are in the Swedish Lutheran Church. Even that. Like, grounds them. We're a mainline Protestant denomination.
Yeah.
Even that grounds them. And then we have brochures in the lobby, too, about the covenant. So you could hand them one of those.
And I think I said it already, too, but if you feel at any point like you don't know the answer, that's okay. And mm-hmm. point them towards someone that you think does know the answer.
Yeah,
you know, grab in a staff person or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, so. Right. That's a great question.
Yeah.
How about, I'm not sure if I know the answer, but let me find out, and could I have somebody get back to you, or could I get back to you this week about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we've already talked a little bit of a couple things of what not to do. For example, we kind of said if somebody's just kind of looking at the ground, and, you know, that's probably an indication that they don't want to necessarily engage a lot. What are some other things to be aware of what not to do?
Yeah. I would say monopolize their time, or just bombard them with a lot of questions, mm-hmm. a lot of questions about themselves, or offering a lot of information about yourself or a lot of information about the church. They don't need to know the full history of the Covenant denomination or our church or all the ministries that we have going on. People don't need that and probably want that on their first visit.
Unless they're asking for it, but most likely they're not actually going to be asking for all of that immediately.
Right. Yeah. And if they are asking a lot of questions, you know, I take people out for coffee, and I love to do that. So, or, you know, you could offer to take someone to coffee or connect them with a staff member if they have questions about a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just another thing that Char and I had talked about this morning was just don't necessarily overwhelm with invitation too quickly.
Like, yeah.
Going out to lunch immediately after church, that might be a little overwhelming to some people.
Yeah.
Just kind of feel it out. Use your best judgment, I guess.
Yeah. And you'll get a pretty good sense. You'll develop a pretty good sense at reading nonverbals, too.
Yeah.
You can tell pretty quickly, actually, if somebody is not interested or overwhelmed or wanting to get away, mm-hmm. needing some personal space.
Yeah.
So just honor that, and don't feel it's not a personal thing. They don't even know you, so don't take it personally. It's it's just their comfort level that we're being hospitable and honoring.
Yeah. So those are all the questions that I wanted to cover. Are there any other additional pieces about hospitality that you think you want to go over?
I guess what I would want to just leave people with is a reminder and an encouragement and a challenge that if Faith Covenant is your church home, you are part of the hospitality team. This is your church. People are coming here to visit. So be aware, notice, mm-hmm. Go out of your way to look somebody in the eye at very minimum, offer a smile at very minimum, say hello at very minimum, offer your name, offer a handshake if that seems like that would be appropriate. There are just things that we can do that seem small to us that really can make a really lasting difference in the life of somebody who's visiting. And these are tools not just for here at church, but as we've talked about, these are things you can offer to your physical neighbor at the mailbox. You know, you can engage in conversation, mm-hmm. just, how's your family doing? Follow up on something that you know from a prior conversation. And I heard your dog died. I'm sorry about that. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's living a life of hospitality is broader than the church. But we're called to do that. We're called to love people in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And that's just one way to do that, is to see people.
Yeah. And I think, too, I'll just add that I think sometimes people have it in their heads that the only way to be hospitable is to open up their home, and then maybe thinking, oh, I don't have enough space in my home to do that. No. You can be hospitable in places where you are a guest, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
You can be a hospitable guest. You can also be hospitable in coffee shops or in conversations at church. It's just about creating an environment and an atmosphere where people feel welcomed, loved, and seen.
Yeah. I love it. There's a great phrase that says people long to know and be known.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if you're introverted or extroverted, if you like people or not, everyone has an innate need to know and be known, even if it's just by a couple of people. For some, it's by a lot. But people want, they want to know that you see them.
Yeah.
They want to know that they are noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can do that. We can notice people. Mm-hmm, so that's what we should be doing in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So. Well, thank you, Pastor Shar, for joining us.
Yep.
Thank you all for joining us, whether you're watching online or listening to the podcast. We're just thankful that you would join us. I'm going to list Pastor Shar's email address as well in the episode description if you have any other questions about hospitality. I'm also going to list the email for Terry Langmack, who does all of our coordinating for ushers and greeters and coffee shop volunteers, those kinds of things. If you're wanting to get involved and ask more questions about what that might look like, you can contact her. So thank you so much for watching or listening, and have a wonderful and blessed day.